It is finished. Consummatum est. It is consummated. With those last words from the cross, the earthly life of Jesus comes to its conclusion. The incarnation of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity taking on flesh, began back in Nazareth when the angel Gabriel came to Mary. And on the cross, that life died. It is a strange mystery that we celebrate today. It was strange in the first place to think that God would become man. An incredible mystery celebrated in Nazareth. The incredible mystery of Jesus' birth. Last night we celebrated the strange mystery that the same God who would choose to take on flesh, the God who created all things, would then choose to take bread, a simple creature in his creation, and change bread into God. An incredible mystery. But today, we celebrate perhaps the strangest, most peculiar, but most wonderful mystery of all. That God would die for us. God, who would have had every right to say, "Enough with this people. I have tried everything to get through to them. I have shown them my love in every way possible. I have taught them my teaching. I have come to bear witness to the truth." And as St. John would say in the beginning of his gospel, "He came to his own and his own received him not." Surely God could have very easily ended this human experiment at that point. But in the greatest act of love ever shown, rather, God chooses in one final consummating act of love to die for us, to give himself completely. Perhaps that was the point of the incarnation in the first place. God became man to show us how much God loves us. And yet we see the circumstances at his death are not so different from those at the beginning of his life. When he was born, we read sadly that there was no place for Jesus in Bethlehem. And so Mary, doing the best she could, lays the little Jesus in the wood of the manger. Certainly not the bed she would choose for the Son of God. And today, we stand at the foot of the cross and see once again that there was no room for Jesus. And he is once again laid to sleep on the wood. A bed certainly not of Mary's choosing. And yet she is there. Indeed, we see the great love of God poured out on the cross as he gives his mother to us in the disciple John. We spoke last night of St. Thomas Aquinas, who speaks so beautifully of the Eucharist. He reminds us that every time we celebrate the Eucharist, this sacrifice of Christ is represented sacramentally on the altar. We needn't wonder what it would be like to be on Calvary, for every time we celebrate the Mass, we are there, in which Jesus once again makes that gift of himself to God. That one gift offered once for all on Calvary is made present at every Mass. So perhaps it would seem strange that today, on this day of all days, the Mass is not celebrated. It would seem so fitting. Yet Aquinas tells us that a sacrament is a sign. It points to something else. The sacrament of the Eucharist is a sign, not just a sign. It's a real sign that truly brings about the presence of Jesus. But it is a sign, and that sign makes present the reality of Jesus' death on the cross at every Mass. But Aquinas says that on this day we do not celebrate the Mass because we have something even greater than the sign of the offering of the Eucharist. On this day, our recalling of the Passion of the Lord is so real, and that past event through the mystery of the Holy Spirit is so real and tangibly present to us today in the liturgy that we no longer need the sign of the offering of Mass. The event today is real for us as we live it out in our liturgy. All that remains then is the second part of Mass. After the sacrifice is made present, we must eat the Paschal victim. Just as the Jews in the Passover ritual, once the lamb was sacrificed, must eat the lamb. So while today there is no need for us to sacramentally make present the Passion of Jesus, which is already so present today, we do eat the Paschal lamb sacrificed for our sins. In the book of Genesis, the tree of life stood at the center of the garden, and through the sin of Adam and Eve, they could no longer partake of the food of the tree of life, and they were cast out of paradise. Today, we find too that just as Adam and Eve, we say to God, we will not serve. We will not do things your way. Is there room for Jesus today in our hearts? Or are we rather not so unlike Bethlehem? Pilate mockingly asks Jesus, are you a king? Is he? Is Jesus really the king of our life? Or rather, is there no room? Do we have many other kings before Jesus? Do we sadly try to fit God in to our plans? To try to maybe make a hole somewhere if there's time for God? If we look, we needn't ponder far to know what hung Jesus on the cross. It was our sins. Through the mystery of time, not only is Jesus' sacrifice made present, but we know through the mystery of time, it was our sins who crucified Jesus. And sadly, we know that as we stand at the cross today, we continue to shout, crucify him. We continue to tell God through our own selfish actions, no, there is no room for you. And so Jesus is once again laid to sleep on the wood. But this wood becomes for us today in our liturgy not the symbol of condemnation, not the symbol of defeat, but today the wood of the cross stands revealed as the tree of life. Once again today, through our liturgy, we are able to reach out and touch the wood to take the fruit of the tree of life. Today, the Lord's cross will be presented to us ritualistically. Behold the wood of the cross, we will hear, come, let us worship. And we all kneel and worship, for we know that it is through this wood, the wood of the manger, the wood of the cross, the wood of our unwelcome selfishness, that Jesus shows us why God became man. He shows us how much he loves us. Today, we behold the wood of the cross, revealed as the tree of life, and we stretch out our hands to take of its fruit, to receive from the throne of grace, mercy. For Jesus promises us not condemnation, but when we bring our sins and our weaknesses, when we have the courage to stand at the foot of the cross beside Mary and John, Jesus promises us only forgiveness. We who on this day look deep into our hearts and find ugliness, regret, sin, and even an unwelcome for our Lord, today the blood flows from the cross and Jesus says, I love you. Receive my mercy. Today we begin to receive the divine mercy of God. So let us come with confidence, St. Paul tells us, before the throne of grace, the cross, there to receive mercy and to hear Jesus say once again to us, I love you. I love you. Receive my mercy.